Hey, guys. Didn't forget about you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, they are. They're listening.
Hey. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have a terrific day. You voted for zinc. It won. Product of the week, as always. It wins a lot, actually. Probably because it's one of the most crucial nutrients you need. We'll get it updated later on today.
No, is it cinnamon extract or zinc?
It's zinc. Cinnamon extract's not updated yet.
Oh.
I didn't change it till last night. I was going through everything.
Because it says cinnamon extract.
Yeah, that's still currently on sale, actually. But the zinc will be up like in an hour or two. I got to handle it after the show. We had a lot of stuff going on yesterday. But yeah, be sure to check that out. We'll be updating. And also be sure to check out the daily episodes at Team Health Masters. This one from yesterday, we're talking about the $800 propane scam. Some crazy photos we get put up there.
I finally got the propane delivered yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They gave me a bill on the door, and I've got to try to figure out what to do with the bill.
They do like they did me?
I'll take care of it. I'll make sure it gets paid.
Yeah, interestingly enough. This is an interesting story that came about. I saw this here earlier, and it's something that I wanted to cover because this is what Ted started at the beginning of the show. Kind of a – this is why you don't really ride carnival rides.
I know a lot of you ride carnival rides. Give us this middle camera, Richie. A lot of people ride carnival rides.
I used to
when I was younger, and then I started reading about mishaps with carnival rides, and then I had and I use this term very affectionately. Don't get mad at me. A bunch of carnies. Okay, I used to have a bunch of carnies coming to the office all the time when I had the clinic, and they were really nice people, and they warned me. They said, "Don't ever ride the ride."
Well, this thing snaps in half.
Look at this thing. It just kind of breaks right about there. Boom. Bam, and it falls.
They had a decent landing. That could have been way worse as high as they were. Yeah. I think like 23 people got injured. But just as a heads up, because I've been around, there's a lot of carnivals they have down here in Florida all the time, and I don't really ride those much anymore. Not saying some of them can't be fun, but there's not a whole lot of monitoring and safety stuff that goes on regularly.
You know, on an airplane, you have like a wing spar. You have like a Cessna. I had that on my 210. And one day the FAA decided that it had to have an eddy current test because over in Australia, a pair of wings basically fell off, broke loose of a 210, which was fatal for everybody, obviously, because of the altitude. And they said, "We're going to now test everybody's 210. And they
X-ray them.
It's not really an X-ray. It's an eddy current. It throws a magnetic field into it. And the magnetic field then shows up on a scope, and it shows if there are any cracks in the wing spar. The wing spar is this big piece of aluminum about that wide that sits in the middle of the plane, and the wings attached to it with these giant bolts and hooks. And so the FAA requires a continual amount of monitoring on aircraft to make sure you don't have wing spar failure because of fatigue, because the wings go up and down, bounce and everything else with airflow. And so they want to make sure that these planes are going to be safe. I don't think they have eddy current testing on these types of carnival rides.
I doubt it. Yeah.
And bolts and spars and things that are attached like that are not put together right. And, and it's sad. I'm glad that nobody was killed on that.
So
if you're going to ride a ride, at a carnival, pray before you get on it.
Don't ride the big ones. Ones that go way up in the air that.
God. I mean, I used to love them when I was a kid, but gosh, they're just so... you don't know who put them together.
Kind of sketchy. Now, also, too, in other news, RFK Jr. dropped stunning new vaccine announcement. He's essentially going after the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund, but basically coming out and saying, why in the world do we have this fund, and why have we paid out billions upon billions of dollars to vaccine-injured individuals if these vaccines are so safe, and they're being mandated in schools, and they're being mandated in other aspects, and now they're coming out and they're trying to say that they want to refuse all religious exemptions. That's another story that I'll be covering here in a minute.
Who's saying this?
This is right here. This is a strong case now. They're saying that basically there's multiple states that are coming in now. California's done this. New York's done this. And this is an article talking about if you need help getting your child a religious exemption from vaccine mandates, try these arguments. And apparently what's happening is now, and I'm getting reports on this, a lot of states are refusing to acknowledge religious exemptions for vaccines now. They're coming in denying them. And state of Florida, it's pretty much mandatory. If you put in a religious exemption, state of Florida, they have to approve it. A lot of states are not like that. It's like some of these states aren't.
No wonder everybody's moving here.
Yeah, everybody's moving here. Everybody.
I can't blame them. I live here. It's nice.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, we're here first. Actually, we're here first. The people here long before us first.
But let me read his statement, though. The 1986 – there's a certain part of this I want to really emphasize. Yeah. The 1986 Vaccine State Act gave vaccine makers immunity against lawsuits by children who suffer vaccine injuries. They're not denying it because it happens. The statute and numerous subsequent court decisions recognize that vaccines, like all medications, are, in the words of the American Academy of Pediatrics case, unavoidably unsafe. What the heck does that mean? Unavoidably unsafe. And that the percentage of vaccinated children will suffer, and that a percentage, it recognizes, of vaccinated children will suffer injuries or death. How about not my kids? How about we keep them out of that loop? Congress, therefore, simultaneously created the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund, which obliged HHS to compensate injured children, in the words of then Labor and Public Welfare Committee Chairman Senator Edward Kennedy, when children are the victims of an appropriate and rational national policy, I don't think that's appropriate or rational, a compassionate government will assist them in their hour of need. Well, that hasn't happened. Almost all of these claims are denied.
Well, and what really, really just irritates the fire out of me with this entire program is the fact that it's funded with taxpayer dollars. Why in the heck isn't Pfizer forced to supply the cash for these vaccine injuries, or Moderna, or Merck, or GlaxoSmithKline, or and? Why in the world do we have a vaccine injury compensation fund that's funded by taxpayer dollars to cover the victims that are injured from a certain product? I've used the analogy before. If, say, for example, and I'm not, this is just a brand, say Ford started having their vehicles explode going down the interstate, one every, you know, 500,000.
That happened with Pintos.
Right.
Rare collisions, yep.
And so all of a sudden they said, well, it's just an unavoidable risk. Every, 100,000 Fords that are on the road, they're just going to explode at random on the interstate at some point in time. We have no idea. So the government's going to pay you if you get injured by one of these vehicles. Would Ford have any reason to manufacture a good product anymore? No, they'd be like, it's not our problem. It doesn't matter what we produce. It doesn't matter if it kills everybody. It doesn't matter if it blows up. The government will pay everybody to fix it.
Well, the problem, remember, the light switch, the rear lights and the gas tanks are like we're connected to each other.
Yeah.
And if you got a rear end collision,
it'd blow up.
It'd blow up. The wiring harness would basically cause enough electricity to arc into the gas.
The Pintos no more.
You notice nobody ever renamed something a Pinto.
No, never. They never got rebranded. So, I mean, that's the problem you have with this is when you go in, you take in a whole entire industry and you say, it doesn't matter. And like you said, one of the largest manufacturers, I'm going to reread this again. One of the largest manufacturers at the time, Wythe, which is now part of Pfizer, told President Reagan, give us legal protection or stop making vaccines. Reagan's response, why not just make vaccines safer? Wythe's answer, vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And so that's the problem that I have with this entire industry, and that's one of the reasons why RFK Jr. is covering this and why so many other people have been pushing back on this for a while. Because, again, at the end of the day, why is it a taxpayer's responsibility to cover the injuries of an agency or of a company that's producing products that knowingly cause harm?
Well, what they did, they convinced the United States government that without vaccines, everybody was going to die.
Exactly.
That's what they did. And so they said, you've got to have vaccines. Well, no, you don't, actually. And, we basically have now looked at vaccines. If you look at the research done on the vaccines, the vast majority of the problems associated with these types of diseases way back when, over 100 years ago, was because of cleanliness, because of sewage,
sanitation.
Because of water, because of sanitation. And when all that basically got taken care of, the vaccines were no longer necessary, but they were still being used.
I'm not completely against immunizations. I understand the concept and the aspect of how they work. You take a dead, measles virus, you inject it in, basically body sees it, starts making antibodies towards it. The concept of that isn't necessarily inherently bad. It's the adjuvants, the enormous amount of aluminum, thimerosal, and all these other items
squalene
they put in there. Yeah. And then what happens is you have an insanely aggressive autoimmune response. And then to make it worse, then they start stacking 2, 3, 4 vaccines in one injection. And then to make it worse, they start giving these kids 6 and 7 vaccines in one single sitting.
Well, then it causes massive inflammation. It causes massive brain swelling. Causes massive brain damage to some kids, and they know this. But they're unavoidably unsafe,
right?
And so, therefore, we have the ability to do whatever we want to do because no matter who we hurt, it's going to be covered under the vaccine compensation fund.
Yeah,
and that's how they see it. And speaking about drugs this morning, let's talk about 1 in 4 antibiotic drugs are linked to disrupted gut health.
I saw that.
Okay, now there's a there's a drug out there. So I'm talking for personal experience. That's called Bactrim, and it's an antibiotic. I remember many years ago, Sharon and I were flying back from North Carolina, and she had some problems with her sinuses. She ended up with a sinus infection. And the doctor at that point that we were using gave her Bactrim. Now, Bactrim, it says right in the physician's desk reference, if you're over the age of 60, if you're a female, not to use it because it can cause all kinds of side effects, which it did. And so when I read this kind of stuff with the gut health and all the health problems that are associated with it, I begin to realize just how dangerous sometimes antibiotics are. Here's what the article says. While patients have long known that antibiotics can disrupt gut health, research has now discovered that seemingly harmless medications, including common allergy pills, antidepressants, and hormone replacement treatments, may also pose a threat to the protective bacteria that keep dangerous pathogens at bay. The study recently published in Nature found that 28% of 53 tested non-antibiotic medications promoted the growth of harmful pathogens like salmonella in laboratory models, potentially leaving millions of patients vulnerable to serious intestinal infections. And it says the beneficial effects of harmful bacteria. Researchers found that pathogenic bacteria, you know, which are responsible for diseases like typhoid fever, diarrhea, and urinary tract infections, were more resistant to some drugs than others, as far as beneficial gut bacteria. The team theorized that these drugs may increase the growth of pathogens by inhibiting or disrupting the beneficial microbes. Now, we did a show a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how the gut microbiome talked to the brain through scalar energy fields without being wired together. That's a pretty good show we did on that
pretty
one.
Love.
And the part about that is that it's like a third brain, they say, as far as this gut bacteria and how it's connected to the body. And when you see something like this going in and causing a disrupted gut health along with other types of drugs, you've got to ask yourself a question. If I have to take one of these drugs for various reasons, how do I fix the gut bacteria?
There you go.
There you go, right here. Probiotic, $350 billion. That's a phenomenal product.
This is the strongest probiotic in the world as far as it's batch tested. It's 650 CFU, colony-forming units, at the time of packaging. It's rated at 350, but it's built to 650. This thing has every single possible strain in it at unbelievably high doses. This will get your probiotic back up in your gut on every single level. This is why we built this product specifically
Bring it out of Belgium. It's made in Europe. It's a phenomenal product.
This is the one product. If you've been on antibiotics, if you've taken stuff that's wrecked your gut health, this is the product to take. It's not cheap. It's very expensive.
Well, it's about $100
a can.
Yeah.
I have like no margin on this product.
No, we don't. We pay a lot for this.
But you can look at the ingredient list on it. I mean, 5 billion CFUs.
Well, no. 125. A lot of people say we have a million. A million. Okay,
that's cute.
We have 5,000 millions in this, yes. And 6,500 millions upon when we manufacture it. So there's no comparison to this of this with anything else on the market
They're in nitrogen sealed blister packet sachets and powder. They're not even in capsule form. So you got to mix this stuff up in water and you got to drink it immediately. It's stout. I mean,
it doesn't taste bad.
No, it doesn't taste bad at all. But I'm saying it's built insanely strong. So if you guys need anything, be sure to check that product out.
If you're going to go through antibiotic cycle, make sure you do something like this
afterwards.
I recommend this for at least a month.
Yeah,
I recommend taking it for a month and just to rebuild the gut flora because it's so important. Without the proper gut flora, it's really difficult to stay healthy. It really, really is. And the gut is so critical. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart or in his gut, so is he. And the thing is true. Without having proper gut flora, you can't have that proper communication between the gut and the brain, and you have a lot of problems with depression. I've seen it over and over and over again.
Now, this is a wild story, and this is stuff that's not getting discussed at all with what people have been pushing for this new AI system, this AI platform that's going across the country like a frenzy. It says AI mega supercenter, this data center in Wyoming, will soon use more electricity than the state's entire human residence. Twofold, actually, now that I'm reading on this. It will double. Electricity will double the amount of electricity doubled with this new 10 gigawatt capacity. The proposed data center will consume 86 terawatts of electricity annually. Because it's drawing this much power from the public grid, it's untenable. The project will have to rely on its own dedicated gas generation and renewable energy sources, according to Collins and company officials. The massive local demand for electricity, even if self-generated, represents a fundamental shift for a state that currently sends nearly 60% of its generated power to other states. Now, what's crazy about this is, and nobody's discussing this, I went and saw a movie the other day. It's a very, very strange movie. It's called Eddington. It's got some disturbing stuff in it, but it's very wild. It's based in New Mexico in May 2020, right when COVID hits. And I'm not going to spoil it for you if you've seen it. It's got some graphic stuff in it. It is R-rated. It's got some violent stuff in it as well, but it's interesting. And it covers really in detail what happened during COVID, how everybody was so fractured, what happened with BLM. It has the Antifa, how these guys were basically paid coming in to these cities and causing all this terror. And then the premise of the movie was this giant AI data center that was being proposed and pushed through legislation during COVID while many people weren't even going to meetings or going on these Zooms. We watched certain things like this happen down here in Florida, where certain subdivisions were getting approved without anybody even knowing it. 1,000 house subdivisions that were getting approved without any infrastructure expansion. Massive, massive amounts of 5G towers getting erected all across the state and all across the country with nobody even knowing how they were doing it. And it went into detail on this group behind the scene that was doing this. So again, this is something that's happening that most people don't know about. And what's really wild about it is, why in the world are we putting so many of these super AI centers? It says the potential connection to OpenAI Stargate AI infrastructure project will begin in January 2026. Why in the world do we need these massive super centers all across the entire country?
You know, back in Genesis chapter 6, you know, it says that everybody's thought was evil all of the time.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return, in which he's talking about the days of Genesis chapter 6, in which everybody's thought was evil all of the time. This thing is probably going to throw out a giant energy field around the planet. That's why they're building them everywhere.
They're all out west.
Just like the pyramids. And they have to have the ability to come in and control the ether. Or the areas around our atmosphere.
Well, that's what I want to ask you, because it doesn't make sense to me. Because obviously, we're not spending $500 billion, half a trillion dollars building AI super data centers across the country so people have faster ChatGPT. Let's be real. That's not why these centers. It doesn't take that much power to run.
They did it with the pyramids earlier, and then, you know, thousands of years ago, the pyramids basically created giant energy fields. They built them on top of ley lines, and what happens when you move water? I think it's over 200 meters per second. It creates an energy field around it. It starts glowing blue, and so a lot of these pyramids were built over these types of, you know, water fissures, in which they'd create huge energy fields around the pyramids. The pyramids, there are thousands of them all over the planet that are still here. Most of them are under the oceans after Earth. After God split the continents apart with Noah, he shut the thing down. He turned off the pyramids. And that's why, remember something, the evil one was in control of the planet with Noah. That's why every thought was evil all of the time. And so the evil one wants to control the hearts and the minds of human beings. And God knew that. And so he knew that the evil one had come in, had corrupted the human genome by breeding with humans. They'd come in and done all this genetic experimentation. And I guess they decided they wanted to do a big hermaphrodite agenda like they're doing right now. And we had groups of people that were probably more fallen angels than they were human beings. Noah had clean DNA. His seed was clean, it says in the Word. And that's why Noah was chosen to build the ark and to start the human race over again. And what God did, he came in and he flooded the planet to kill all of these Nephilim and all these half-breeds off. That's why it happened that way. But that's why they want to control the genome. That's why they want men to compete against women in sports. That's why they want men to be girls and girls to be men. And that's why they want to confuse everybody and have hermaphrodites, you know, transgenders everywhere. That's what this goal here is again. And so the problem is, if you don't have the proper amount of energy fields being generated with control over the masses of humans in their minds, creating a hive mind, they can't control every thought of every man, with Lucifer being in the middle of this, creating a omnipresent effect with him, because he's not omnipresent, he's an entity. He cannot be everywhere at once. But if he controls the massive energy influx around the planet, and we're all made of energy, he can control the hearts and the minds of the individuals. That's why the world is going to get worse and worse and worse as they do stuff like this.
Well, and you just talking about water. This is another one that said just one AI data center in a small Texas town used 463 million gallons of water last year alone. Residents are told to take shorter showers. They're saying now here with the Stargate scale of AI that the Texas Water Development Board projects the data centers in the entire state, all the data centers combined, will consume 49 billion gallons of water in 2025.
They've got to cool this equipment down, son.
49 billion gallons of water?
They've got to cool. This stuff runs hot. And you know, that's why they keep them so cold, because these things don't, most of these D-Wave computers and stuff, they operate at absolute zero. Like
that's
200.
An enormous amount of
like
water.
Like 270 degrees below zero. And of course, you can't do that with water. You can do it with nitrogen.
Yeah.
But you've got to have cooling tanks. And they have to build all of this stuff together. Think about the technology. This is all fallen angel technology, by the way.
Here's what it says right here. In Hill County region, where several AI focus centers are under construction, not only do these facilities demand significant water for evaporative cooling, much of the water is evaporated and is never recycled. While some facilities rely on recycled water, most of them will draw heavily from drinking water supplies, hence why they're telling citizens in some of these areas to take shorter showers.
That's right.
Is that okay? Is that okay? Oh, we got an AI data center. It's going to make everybody really stupid and give us all the answers. Can't take showers anymore now. You need to drink less water. Newsflash, the ding-dongs. No. Your body's made up of 70% water. You can't survive without water.
Well, I guess if you get stupid enough, you don't care about personal hygiene.
Don't care about anything. AI's making everybody dumber than a box of rocks now. I just read that article the other day. It's talking about how nobody really remembers anything. They said that the group that did the AI papers couldn't recall one sentence from the paper they submitted.
You know, it's funny, and it happens to me all the time, because I'm always inquiring people, you know, inquiring minds want to know, and I'm always asking questions to people.
Yeah.
When I meet them, you know, I'm talking about strangers now, and sometimes friends, and I'll ask them questions, and they look at me, and they stand there, and their mouth just drops open. And you're like, close your mouth. You got your mouth open. And they're like, whoa, what do you mean? I said, I asked the question again, and they look at me with a blank stare.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of my daughters, I'm not going to mention any names, was dating this guy for a while. And I finally, you know, he never really spoke to me. He wasn't real bright. And I finally said to her, I said, you know, why doesn't he speak to me? She said, well, he doesn't understand you. Well, then I found out he couldn't read. Okay, and now is this the new generation of people that we're going to have basically running the planet?
Yes.
They can't read. They can't think. It's like that one movie that came out years ago, that silly movie when everybody was so stupid. And that guy was
in that cryo chamber. He wakes up in like 2050 or whatever.
Yeah, and he was the dumb one to start with. And he comes out
he's
being
like
the
brilliant.
Smartest. Yeah, he's out brilliant because he's smarter than everybody else because they can't do anything. And that's what we run into. Like right now, you know, you have this little thing right here that says, can health insurance companies access medical records across the board? And the answer is right now, absolutely not. They can't do that.
Right.
Because we have medical privacy with HIPAA laws.
Right.
They can't do it. But this administration has decided that Trump administration is launching a new private health tracking system with Big Tech's help. They're going to know everything about everyone.
They're going to know your finances. They're going to know your medical records. They're going to know your driving history. They're going to know your geo-tracking location. They're going to know everybody you associate with. They're going to know every place you go to eat. They're going to know every place you go to hang out. Everything is going to be compiled in one singular AI data center system that they can access at any and all times. Just newsflash. If you guys didn't get the keynotes for the last month, that's what they're doing with this whole platform.
You know what's funny? About 25, 30 years ago, I went to get some health insurance.
Yeah.
This is 25, 30 years ago, and because I was still pretty young, and I'm still actually pretty young, and I wanted to make sure if something happened to me that Sharon would be taken care of and the family would be taken care of. And I remember I went into this place to get my cholesterol tested. You remember all this?
Yes.
Stuff, okay. And I remember my cholesterol was like at 207, and I'm like, okay, well, they denied me the health insurance, the life insurance, because my blood cholesterol was over 200, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. And so I went ahead and basically reapplied like a couple months later and said, we're going to do this again. And I really cut back on my diet on everything, and I'm drinking a bunch of water all the time. And I got my cholesterol under 190, which I didn't like. I did it just for the life insurance. And what happened, I went in to do it. The guy goes, well, let me look at your medical information bureau. And I said, medical information bureau? What the heck is that? Like Men in Black, MIB. And I thought, this is odd. Oh, no. Everything that you do gets logged into the medical information bureau so the insurance companies can see it, so we can adjust how much we're going to spend and how much we're going to charge you for your life insurance or your health insurance. Like, whoa, guys, this was 30 years ago. And they gave me the life insurance, and it was at a decent price, actually. And then about 10, 15 years later, by the time I turned 50, it wasn't decent anymore. It got really expensive really fast, and I canceled it. The point is, how much intrusion do we want in our lives, Austin?
Yeah.
How much information about you, about your blood pressure, about your sex life, or
about
anything
else?
Your driving habits. I mean, this is that invasive. Every single thing you put down in a doctor's office when it gets logged into your database is now public record to this guy through the Trump administration. It's long a new private health tracking system. What about HIPAA? I guess this goes away now. The Trump administration announced it is launching a new program that will allow Americans to share personal health data and medical records across health systems, all health systems, and apps.
That's going to be the wearables too, buddy.
And apps run by private tech companies, promising that will make it easier to access all health records and monitor all wellness. More than 60 companies, including major health companies like Google. I really want Google having all my personal information.
Yeah.
Amazon and Apple, as well as healthcare giants like United Healthcare Group, horrible group, by the way, and CVS Health have agreed to share patient data into the system. So when you fill out all those little forms for all of those little places that you're talking about right now with all these groups here, they're going to say, guess what? Everybody gets it now.
And also understand, I'm just letting you guys know this, that love these little things. All those wearables you wear on your wrist, all those tracking monitors that monitor your sleep, your blood pressure, your heart rate, while everything you do all day long, all that data gets sold to third parties. It's in the clause when you sign it. You can't get out of it. All that information will also be uploaded for these guys to see on it. So when they go, your heart rate spiked at 2 a.m. one morning.
Oh, we've seen this, by the way.
Your health insurance is going to go up $2,000 a month unless you go get on drugs immediately. I'm being sarcastic on it, but how far is it going to go with this? Oh, we noticed some type of instability in your sleep pattern.
No.
You need to go to the doctor immediately.
I have a friend that happened to him. They put him on beta blockers, and the guy drank a lot of alcohol, and they had him on alcohol and beta blockers. And I remember I saw him one day, and his lips were blue. He was shaking real bad.
How long will it be till they start using this information against you to raise your insurance rate? They already do it with vehicles. Mm-hmm. They already got busted. Allstate got busted in Texas. That massive class action lawsuit I covered 6 months ago. They were illegally tracking and monitoring people's behavior and where they went on their app, on their phone, that they did not submit to. They did not basically accept, and monitoring it so they could sell the data and also use the data to raise rates. They already did it and got busted. I remember State Farm a while back ago, I was changing some vehicles over with them. They said, well, we could get you a discount. So how much of a discount? We'll give you it'll be $5 to $10 a month discount. I said, how do I get my $5 to $10 a month discount? Already insanely high, overpriced, complete and total scam artist. How can I get my discount? We want to put a monitor in your vehicle. We're going to track your driving habits, your miles, your speed, your stop signs, your geo-tracking. We're going to log it in. And if everything matches perfect, we're going to keep that $5 to $10 a month discount. So what happens if I show that I'm doing 71 to 70? Well, if we monitor that your behavior is egregious and it doesn't fit in the lines of our requirements, your insurance is pretty much going to double. He didn't say that, but that's what they implied, because I saw that happen with somebody else that I knew that did that crap. Their insurance shot up from like $200 a month to $350 a month. So what do you raise my insurance rates? You drive extremely more miles than you disclosed originally. You're not driving 1,000 miles a month. You're driving 1,500 miles a month. So we're raising your rates. So don't tell me they don't do this stuff. That's what they do, and that's why they're using all this stuff to monitor, so they can extract every single penny, because they love breathing free air. That's not enough for them. They want more.
It's not funny, but the problem is the stuff with these monitors they put on you. They put my friend on this doggone beta blockers, and he was still hammering the wine and the alcohol and the beer. And I finally did a bunch of research for him. I said, you can't mix beta blockers with alcohol. And nobody bothered telling that. And then they told him, they said, because your heart rate spiked that night, 4 months ago before we got you on the beta blockers, we need to stop your heart.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, stop your heart. Well, they're going to stop my heart, and they're going to shock me and paddle me and get it started again. So they're going to basically kill you. That's the last time I heard that when your heart stops, you're not really around. You're kind of dead if they can't start it up again. And he goes, yes, they're going to basically stop my heart. And I said, before you do all that, make sure your life insurance is in place.
Yeah.
Make sure that your funeral arrangements are in place. And make sure that your family knows they need to come by and say goodbye to you before they stop your heart, because they may not get it started again. All because his heart rate spiked one night. I'm joking. Guys, this is not hyperbole. I saw it happen. Lips were blue, shaking like this. It was unbelievable from the beta blockers. And all because one night he must have had a bad dream and his basically heart rate went up. I tell you what, I have had bad dreams before. You guys have too. Don't pretend like you haven't had a bad dream. All right, watch this. You're sitting in bed and all of a sudden something happens in the dream. And all of a sudden you're like, you boing out of bed.
Yeah,
you know, you're not even touching the mattress. You go straight up in the air and you land on your feet and you're like, where's my Glock? And you're going, and your heart's going, boom, 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 boom. You're going, oh, it was a dream.
Hurry, just doubled.
That was awful. Okay, I got to go on beta blockers now. What the heck? What do you think just happened? Your adrenaline just kicked in, and you were in a fight or flight syndrome. And you go, this. And have you ever had that dream where you wake up in the middle of the night and you go, oh, God, I'm so glad that wasn't real. And you try to go back down, you lay back down again, and it starts right up again. You go, oh, I'm not going to do this. So then what I do is I get up and I work on the show the next day.
Yeah.
I'll go turn the iPads back on, turn the Wi-Fi back on, and say, you know what? I'm going to take about a 30-minute knockdown break on this thing because I'm not going back into that dream state. I'm not doing it. Then you calm back down again. Then you go lay back down again, turn the Wi-Fi back off, and you sleep again. And you don't go back into that dream. That's the worst when you have a bad dream and it starts recurring on you when you lay back down. So the reality is I don't want to be in dreams like that to start with. They're pretty awful. Horrible. And number two, if I do have a heart spike, it's something that's going to happen anytime I go into a fight or flight syndrome. A lion comes walking through the door, gets loose from the zoo. Lion walks into the house. You're like, ah, there's a lion in the house. And you go, my heart is pumping harder. Well, it's supposed to. It's a fight or flight syndrome. So you're going to either run or you're going to hide or you're going to basically shoot the lion. Something's going to happen right quick or you're going to be eaten. So you realize very, very quickly that's a flight or fight syndrome, which is something that happens every time you basically get taxed with your body. And the problem with that is, Austin, we live in flight or flight syndromes. We get in the car and we're driving to work. We got an hour commute and then some bozo pulls in front of you and they slam on the brakes. And then they pull a gun out on you, and they're waving the pistol at you. And you're going, oh, my gosh, this is a nightmare. And you go, this is awful.
Well, in the state of Florida, that's when you return fire.
But the point is, you go, this is like living in the Wild West here on the highways here. I-4, the death corridor. I mean, this thing is dangerous. And I've had people cut off and get in front of me and slam on their brakes, and you're like, can't we just get where we want to go without getting into a conflict? This is horrible.
Not in Florida.
Oh, well, now, but the point is, the entire journey now was a fight or flight syndrome.
Yeah.
So now you get to work and you're all geeked up.
Yeah.
And then you're going, oh, God, I'm exhausted.
Then you start arguing at work now because you're already in a bad mood.
Yeah, now you're already in a bad mood. And so that's the problem. And that's why stress, which is what this is, stress is the primary factor in all diseases, including heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. Because when your body goes in that fight or flight syndrome, your gut stops producing hydrochloric acid. You stop digesting your food. You suddenly go into a nutrient deficiency, and your body doesn't get enough antioxidants to prevent cancer, and the body starts to degenerate, causing degenerative disease, all because you have that hour commute every day. Or you come home, and your wife's all pissed off. Or your husband's all pissed off. Excuse my vernacular. And all of a sudden, as soon as you get home, the fight starts. Or as soon as you get out of bed in the morning, the fight starts. And all of a sudden, it's turning into this giant war every day at work, war every day on driving home, and the war every day when you get to the house. Pretty soon, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm aging this fast. Well, your body is staying into a perpetual fight. You know, and that's why Sharon and I decided many years ago, we were married for 38 years, we decided that we were not going to do that. We weren't going to trigger each other and start fights first thing in the morning. Have you ever noticed? That's happened to me before. You get up in the morning, husband's in a bad mood, triggers the wife. Wife's in a bad mood, triggers the husband. All of a sudden, everybody stays mad all day long, and it sets the tone for the whole day. That's prolonged stress. You don't need that. Get up in the morning. Hey, good morning, beautiful. I love you. Good morning, handsome. I love you. Oh, wow. What a nice day this is. This is great.
Well, that's why
that's how it's supposed to start.
That's why we put together the cortisol buster to really help out with that. Because remember, elevated cortisol takes anywhere from 24 to 48 hours to come back down when it gets extremely
And you
elevated.
Think about it. If you stay in this state all the time, your cortisol is always going to be elevated.
Always elevated.
A cup of coffee over the age of 40 takes 2 to 3 days for your cortisol to return to normal.
And you're going to drink it every day.
That's why I use Purple Sticks.
Yep.
I had a lady ask me the other day. She goes, well, I love my coffee. And I'm like, you can have all the coffee you want. I'm out. And she goes, well, I said, I use green tea called Purple Stick. I said, I do that. I don't want elevated cortisol because 2-3 days on coffee, I'm as agitated as a wet cat on a hot tin roof.
You used to not do that to me. In my 20s, I could drink quite a bit of coffee, and it wasn't that. But I've noticed before when I've gone on like vacation or something, I've taken the kids somewhere, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm in a resort. I'm at a hotel. They got espresso. I'm getting me an espresso. Yeah. Well, the next morning, I'm like, I need an espresso now. Third morning, I'm like, don't talk to me until I get an espresso. Then all of a sudden, the fourth day, I'm like, why am I so mad? I'm not even up and running yet, and I'm already in a bad mood.
And I feel horrible. Yeah, I feel edgy.
Then you got to start drinking copious amounts of coffee just to feel normal.
And then you feel fatigued from the coffee. I mean, and like you, when I was in my teens, I could do all that. Or in my 20s. When I was in graduate school at Florida State, I could do that. But I can't do it now. I just stay away from it.
And that's what I like. When we developed these, we tested the heck out of these when we restructured and redid them. As far as I don't know how many times we tried them. It tastes good. How's it feel? This isn't strong enough. This is too weak. This doesn't taste good. So we tweaked it so it gives you that sustained supportive energy that doesn't crash you, doesn't elevate your cortisol, and doesn't put you in this agitated mood all day where you're like, I'm pissed off. I need another coffee, so I'd be more pissed off the rest of the day.
Well, no,
that's what happens.
Well, no, and it's funny because we've had multiple suppliers try to send us products that they developed that use coffee.
Coffee or green coffee bean extract, which I don't
And
take.
I tried it. And man, I got as agitated as I had.
No, don't get me wrong. It'll get you rolling. Green tea.
Yeah, for about one or two days, and then you got the same effect again with coffee.
Yeah, and so there's certain, all caffeine is not the same. And also understand, a lot of these energy drinks, probably 99% of the ones you see, they're all synthetic caffeine out of China. They're not even caffeine derived from coffee or green tea. They're straight synthetic caffeine out of China.
That's
why you feel so crappy. Back in the day, I remember I used to ride motocross. I used to like Red Bull. I thought it was cool. Everybody drank it. It was the motocross energy drink. The thing I noticed is they worked for about an hour, and then you crashed on them. You had to have another one. You crashed on them. They're designed to do that, guys. The only way people buy more energy drinks is they need more energy because they crash. They're designed to spike you and drop you so you feel worse. You chase the high again on the next one.
Take the next drink.
That's why the energy drinks are designed to do that. That's why you feel like crap when you drink them all day, so you drink another one. They're designed to increase sales with that.
I had a preacher friend of mine.
Yeah.
He had like 5 services a day. Big church. And he basically was doing it on Red Bull.
Yeah.
And he was doing it on Red Bull sugar-free with the aspartame. And I'm listening to him speak one day. And he starts slurring his words. And I went to him after the service. I said, dude, what are you taking? I said, dude, you're slurring. And I told him, I said, you must be drinking a lot of aspartame. Because that phenylalanine will do that to you.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he was hammering the Red Bulls. And he's a health guy.
Like I said,
he stopped doing it. Now he doesn't slur his words anymore.
The energy drinks are designed. I mean, it was a couple months ago. I tried it again. It messed me up again. I was with the kids in Orlando. I was running around with them. And it was late. They were still hyper. And we were at a place, WonderWorks. And they had a big thing of Red Bull. And I said, you know what? I haven't had a Red Bull in years. It's like 7 o'clock at night. I'm going to grab Red Bull. And I've always liked the way they tasted, so don't get at me on them. I drank one. Felt really good for about 30 minutes. I'm all hyper with the kids. I'm running around. All of a sudden, man, I was like, bam, I hit a doggone wall. Mm-hmm. I was like, gosh, I wish I had a purpose. I didn't have any with me. And I was like, I feel like crap now. I'm like, I don't even want to go out and do anything. I pushed through with the kids. They still had a fun night. And I thought to myself, I don't know how people function on these all day. Yeah, you feel horrible.
You know, I keep those things in my pocket.
So do I. That's why I like the packets.
And I keep them in my vehicles. And that way, if I have to get a boost because I'm tired, I've got to drive, and I need to stay awake, I mix one up real quick. I have these little bottled waters in the door of my truck.
Yeah.
And what I do is I just take pour it in there and then basically shake it up and drink it.
Well, that's why the packets are so awesome. Now, granted, you guys have asked for this. I'm doing this for y'all because I use the packets, but I'll probably use these too. I'm producing the purple sticks in a can.
Packet free.
It's going to be a can. Well, it's actually going to be bigger than this. It's going to be like 30-something servings.
More
servings in the boxes, but it's going to be in a can for all y'all heavy purple hitters.
Well, and plus a lot of you don't want a full purple stick. You want half a purple stick.
That's exactly right. And some of y'all don't want 2-3 purple sticks. You want 1.5.
Yeah.
And so this allows you to adjust your dose per serving, especially all my friends that like to use it for pre-workout.
It's in manufacturing right now.
It's the exact same formula, exact same product. It's not going to be in packets. It's going to be in a can with a scooper. That's getting done right now. It should be here in about 6 weeks for all you guys that wanted it.
I think I'm going to start using that one because it'll be less amount of waste in the packets.
Well, these are what I like for traveling in the truck, running around all the time. time. The can's what I'm going to use at the house. And so you guys wanted it. I figured, you know what? I'm making another batch of purple sticks. We're blending another batch of powder. Why not do another one? It's going to cost me more money because I got to do cans and packets now. But I don't really care because I want you guys to be content with it. And I want to keep you guys off Red Bull, quite frankly. That experience I had the other day with Red Bull, I was like, if I can get my customers not drinking Red Bull or coffee, I'm going to do it. So I'm giving you guys everything you asked for as much as I can. It's going to be purple sticks in a can.
So the whole thing about it is, if you're going to drink energy drinks other than a purple stick, you know, make sure they don't have artificial sweeteners in them.
And that's why I drink the Red Bulls. They use sugar in it. They don't use high fructose corn syrup.
They've got that one in there that has the the
aspartame. Oh yeah, no, I'm not promoting it.
Let me back it down a notch. Aspartame contains three ingredients: phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and paint thinner. Yeah, I said paint thinner on purpose. They call it methanol. It's paint thinner. It's a neurological toxin that cannot be made non-poisonous. It's how you go blind. Okay, that's why it causes optic nerve degradation. What do you mean by that? If you drink enough diet sodas, you can actually cause optic nerve degradation and go blind. I have a friend who went blind in his left eye. Austin knows him.
Yeah.
He was drinking. He was a mechanic, and he was drinking like a gallon of diet sodas a day. And I warned him and warned him and warned him not to do it. Finally, started having eyesight problems. Finally, he goes blind. And finally, I said to him, I said, do you think you're going to listen now? Just maybe you're going to listen. And he did. The problem is, why do you have to go blind to stop it? And then the phenylalanine in high concentration causes permanent nerve and brain damage in anyone, period. The aspartic acid eats holes in the frontal lobe of the brain. And the methanol is neurological poison that cannot be non-poisonous, made non-poisonous. So you have three ingredients that are all neurotoxins. And they put it into a sludge called aspartame, and they put it in so many different drinks and different types of powders and stuff that you drink it and you think, oh, I feel great. This is great. There's no sugar in this. It's worse than sugar, guys. It's unbelievably poisonous. And we have an article that I wrote on the website. It's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime, with almost 100 clinical references and research references that I put into it. Read that. If you're going to continue to drink aspartame after you read that, I don't know what to say. I spoke to this lady the other day, and she was a diet soda junkie, and she was acting like a weirdo. And finally, I told her, I said, you know, I gave her some research on it. She goes, well, I don't want to know all that much. That's really negative news. That's what she said, Austin. And I said, negative news? I said, don't you think you need to know what's in something that you're putting into your body? Obviously, she did not want to know that. And one other thing, too. The other day, Austin, I was going into a restaurant. I'm doing a little break here for a second. And there's this lady there, she, I don't know, 50, 55 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And she walks up to the front door of the restaurant, and she opens it for me. And I looked at her, and I said, no, that's not going to happen.
No.
No, so I said to her, I said, no, that's not going to happen. I reached over her head, and I held the door. I said, ladies first. And she looked at me, and she goes, whoa, wow. She goes, do you realize you're a dying breed?
She said that to
that's
you?
That's what she said to me. And I looked at her. I said, no, I'm a non-existent breed. I'm the last alpha male. She looked at me. She started laughing. And I said, I wasn't raised that way. I'm not going to do that. You're not opening a door for me. I can handle the door myself, and I can open it for you. Guys, start opening your door for your wife's door, your girlfriend's door. Pull her chair out when she goes to a restaurant. You know, be a respectable gentleman. I said, don't be some, you know, low-life bottom feeder acting like, you know, the woman's got to take care of you. Don't be like that. Take care of your wife. Take care of your girlfriend, and realize it's your responsibility as an alpha male and as a Christian guy to take care of your wife or your girlfriend or your woman. It's really important to do this.
I just bringing that up, that's funny.
She said that to me.
I was talking to one of my good buddies.
Dying breed.
He's a lot younger than me. He was my workout partner for years. He lives in Tampa now. He's got a great wheel repair company. And he was joking with me. He's dating this new girl again. And he's in his 20s, so he's dating a lot of girls that are in their early 20s still. And he said he picked this girl up. He's got a big Jeep Gladiator, big lifted one's real nice. And he got there, and he went and opened the door for her. And she got in, and she goes, you're the first guy that's ever opened the door for me.
That's sad.
She's like 23 years old. And I thought to myself, how sad is this generation? He goes, that's what I raised this, or my mama raised me. Sorry, not sorry. She's like, no, I love it. She's enthralled with it. She's like, and I'm like, it's sad when girls are excited when somebody opens their door for them now that it's just like, oh my gosh, nobody does that anymore. I mean, I'm like, I don't know.
When a woman walks into the room to be seated, stand up at the table, quit being a doofus. Don't sit. Just stand up, especially if you're being introduced to them. Stand up. Show her the respect of being a lady.
Facts.
She may not be a lady, and you may find out real quick she's not a lady, but just
that's
stand
not
up.
On you, though,
but that's
that
not
way.
Your problem, though. But you do what's right. Pull that chair out. You stand up. Nice to meet you. Be cordial. Don't just sit there like a lump on a log and go, oh, yeah, whatever, man. Don't do that. Actually, engage somebody and try to be nice. It's just... I need to start a dating show.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, this is Health Masters. That's your own podcast.
That'd be my own podcast.
This is Health Masters. Oh. We're keeping it Health Masters. And speaking of health, you can do the Daily Ted Dating Show. That one's on you, though.
Daily Ted Damn.
You could do your solo. You got the studio if you want to do it.
You need to be.
I'm not in it. I'm not getting involved in that. I'm a health news reporter. This is interesting. I got to cover this story. Everybody asks me about CBD all the time. This study now is finding elevated liver enzymes in healthy adults using CBD in a clinical trial.
I believe that.
Now, what's interesting about this is it says CBD is a common chemical found in the cannabis plant. And it can. I've seen good results. I actually used to carry CBD back in the day. We stopped carrying it because there's too many legal issues with it. And I wasn't seeing massive amounts of increase of productivity that it was getting as far as for people. But here's a clinical trial. They did a double-blinded, placebo-controlled clinical trial. This wasn't some half-butt, we're just going to test a couple people, see what it does. They published in JAMA involving 201 healthy adults randomly assigned to receive either 2.5 milligrams of pure CBD per kilogram of body weight, which is about 2.3 milligrams per pound, or placebo twice daily for 4 weeks. The average age participant was 36, half were male. Those who used the CBD daily experienced significant increase in liver enzymes, specifically the ALA enzymes, with levels rising more than 3 times the upper limit of normal. If you ever get blood work done, you get your ASTs, your ALTs tested, and you look at them, you got to look at the reference range. They're in like the hundreds on this as far as with the CBD control group. 7 participants met the criteria to withdraw from the trial due to having such high enough blood cell and liver enzyme levels, suggesting potential drug-induced liver injury. Now, they didn't experience jaundice or any significant liver damage. They said, we selected a dose towards the upper end of reported consumer CBD use with sufficient dosing, duration, and monitoring to observe liver enzyme levels elevation. Now, it's interesting. They said that 25% of liver enzyme elevations from daily CBD treatment resolved spontaneously. They stopped taking it, and they were just fine. No liver damage. What they found, though, is that those who had the higher liver enzymes after taking CBD also tended to have higher levels of basically eosinophils, a type of white blood cell. It says only one participant had symptoms potentially indicating liver problems. The control group that got the placebo had 0 elevated liver enzymes in any individuals in it. So, again, I'm not knocking CBD for some people that have used it and they may get results from it. However, one of the reasons they're bringing up this is a lot of the cases, the CBD solvents, they use so many types of different solvents in these CBDs, and it's completely unregulated. Because what happens with that Cannabis Act, the 2018 Farm Bill legalizing hemp-derived CBD, it's very unregulated. And so the vast majority of CBD powder that manufacturers get is out of China, and it's heavily solvent-laced. They use all types of solvent to extract it. Even the stuff here in the United States, they do the same thing. And the stuff is, in most cases, never tested. They sell it at gas stations. They sell it at stores. And you really have no idea the CBD you're getting and the solvents that they're using, because CBD in general should not elevate liver enzymes to that extent.
It could be the solvents.
That's what a lot of they're saying here. And they said majority of these CBDs all have contamination with high levels of solvents as far as where they're getting.
We used to sell CBD oil, and we were told by our bank that if we sold it, that they would take down the entire, the entire
virtual terminal.
Yeah,
virtual account.
This happened about 7-8 years ago. Back when CBD was just coming out, and because the people that were selling the CBD basically had a monopoly on it.
Yeah.
And that nobody else could sell it. And I'm not going to say anything about the people that are doing it. In fact, I had a neighbor up in North Carolina. He actually put a big patch of CBD, marijuana. And he basically was going to grow it and make,
CBD oil out of it.
And then he basically had it dried and everything else. And nobody would buy it from him.
Yep.
He was basically blocked out because it had already been monopolized.
Yep.
And nobody would buy it. He went out of business, lost his farm, lost his ranch, lost everything. lost hundreds of thousands of dollars he had put into this
business. That entire industry has been monopolized by BlackRock and subsidiaries and all the individuals that love to breathe everybody's air for free. That's why they got a hold of it. That's why they passed the bill in 2018, and then they came in. When they put that 2018 farm bill, and most people don't realize this, all the industry guys that were involved with Big Tobacco and involved with BlackRock already had all the contracts in place before the farm bill even got
signed.
That's
why people couldn't sell their product. Oh, by the way, speaking of certain things, only the Messiah can replace Netanyahu, says the prime minister's brother-in-law.
Here we go. Here we go.
I couldn't even I saw this morning. I couldn't even remember. The Messiah's already, you know, come. It was Jesus. They crucified him. And the problem about now is they're thinking that the Messiah is going to come back to Israel, you know, and replace Netanyahu. It says, in a rare and theologically charged interview, Prime Minister's Israelis Benjamin Netanyahu's brother-in-law declared that no one but the promised Messiah, son of David, is fit to succeed him. The statement made by renowned Bible scholar Dr. Haggai Ben Artzi has ignited fierce debate in Israel and beyond, especially amid escalating war in Gaza and the growing international calls for Netanyahu's resignation. The remarks come as Netanyahu's government faces mounting pressure from within Israel over the handling of the Gaza war, which some estimate up 200,000 to 300,000 basically Gazans have died. The hostage crisis and ongoing global investigations into alleged war crimes, but according to Ben Artzi, critics of Netanyahu are manipulating humanitarian slogans to conceal a political coup d'etat attempt. One, he warns, it defies not only the strategic logic, but divine destiny. Okay, here we go. Now they're saying it's God's will for all those people in Gaza to die or be replaced and have been forced them to move. Well, they've been living there for thousands of years, but now it's time for them to be moved. And then what they do is they tie it right to basically to Donald Trump. He goes, Netanyahu's increasing embrace of Trump's Gaza immigration idea. They're putting it on Trump. That's how they galvanize all the Trumpers.
Yep.
That's how they galvanize Trump's base. They go, this is Donald Trump's idea to take these Gazas and move them. And he did talk about moving them to other states.
He had nothing to do with this entire conflict over there.
Nope. Netanyahu's increasing embrace of Trump's Gaza immigration idea is supported by powerful Gulf states like Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's got to be for this, too. Well, no, they haven't taken them. And Qatar suggests an elite coordinated solution to the Palestinian question may already be underway, possibly fulfilling a globalist prophecy scripted peace plan. Meanwhile, efforts to remove Netanyahu through internal dissent, international courts, or hostage negotiations may be serving as pressure valves in a broader play to reset Middle Eastern borders and power structure. And then finally, the guy goes, Bibi, he goes, divine providence has given you a historic opportunity, perhaps the first in Israel's history, not only to defeat an enemy, but to solve the refugee issue. I pray, I plead, don't miss this opportunity. And you know what happens, and it happens in Christian circles too, Austin. And I remember Pat Robertson said this one time, and I like some of the stuff Pat said and a lot of stuff I didn't like. He said that basically God had told him that certain things were going to happen, and they never did.
Yeah.
And he hit the listeners up with, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to prophesy. Well, let me explain something to you as a Christian. I believe that God could speak through men, and I believe that God could speak through prophets. The problem is a lot of times people will say, thus saith the Lord, and they didn't hear from God. They're making stuff up because they want certain things to happen. And to me, that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
Because if you say, thus saith the Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. What had been said will come to pass if it's God's will, period. And so many times these guys will do this. You'll have like a parking lot prophecy, and they'll say something to you, and it's simply not true, and it never comes to pass. Well, that's a false prophet. Be real careful about people like that who want to say things and do things and pretend like they have this insight from God. If God ever speaks to you, I promise you it will change you. If you have experienced supernatural, if someone returns to you from the other side of the veil and they talk to you, it will change you if you allow it to. A lot of times these people have what's called a near-death experience in which they go to heaven and they meet God or meet a loved one and they talk to them. It will change you. You will never be the same again. And so the thing that people do, though, they try to use religion, Judaism and Christianity and Hindus and Muslims and all the rest. It doesn't matter what group it is. And they will say certain things have to happen to fulfill prophecy. And that's how they did it with the Scofield Reference Bible. They changed the entire interpretation of the Old Testament and New Testament to bring Israel into focus into this new millennial. And so the problem that we have with all of this stuff is that a lot of Christian churches don't even preach Christ crucified. They don't preach repentance at all. Period. They don't do it. You don't hear it from the pulpit. They don't talk about the repentance of sin and it's not having certain types of lifestyle behavioral patterns in your life. They don't preach any of that. And so what happens is sooner or later, everybody starts thinking those types of lifestyle patterns are okay. And that's what's happened now with the Christian churches. And the other day I was speaking to a friend of mine, this lady, this woman, and she told me that she had been she had gone to one of these churches, up in the St. Louis area many, many years ago, and that it had so affected her in a negative way that the pastor had raised $30 million to build a new building, and he never built the building, but he never told anybody where all the money went. Be really careful with those types of churches. I recommend that you stay in an Orthodox church, like a Lutheran church. It's not Orthodox, but it's very conservative and very traditional in its values. That's why I go to the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. It's so important that we understand that we have to maintain the Christianity the way God intended for it to be made. Very, very, very important. And don't be going to these name it, claim it, blab it, grab it churches. If you're going to them, that's your choice, but don't be giving money to these TV evangelists.
See,
I'm warning you.
My biggest thing is with churches. I mean, pick what church you want to go to that aligns with what you want to, go with. But in my opinion, they have open books. If you're going to these churches, they don't want to show you anything they're doing. They don't want to isolate anything they're doing. They have 50 of their friends and family on payroll, and everybody's making $100,000 a year to show up to church on Sunday and, bang a drum or turn a light on. Seen it. You start having all this nepotism. Oh, someone else needs a job. Okay, well, hire him. What's he doing? Oh, well, he's an assistant to the assistant. Okay. He's the assistant's assistant? What does he mean? Oh, he's on payroll for $150,000 a year.
Well, okay. It's kind of like when Elon Musk sent a letter out to the federal employees, say five things you did last week.
I don't even care if it's wash your hands before you came back to your computer.
Just to see
pulse check.
Yeah, see if you're even there.
You're there. It's a huge
percentage. Remember right after he did that?
Gone.
He was done.
Because that is one of the reasons. Well, you want to talk about bloated overall government. You start looking at this stuff when it expands and these people are on payroll doing nothing. Some of them don't even exist.
And some of the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it churches, the exact same way. That's why if the books aren't open, if I don't know where the money goes, I'm not interested. And if I do go to one of those churches, what I've done in the past, I always designate my funds. I wanted to go to this.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to go to that. And that way, then you'll know real quick if you get them all mad when you do that, there's a problem.
Oh, giving you guys a heads up, we were talking about that CBD earlier. If you do have some liver enzyme problems, you know the product that fixes everything. The GHI Cleanse, the Brain and Body Restart Kit. That's that kit I put together for you guys last week.
It's empty.
I know.
I was
going
to take
some
of it all quick.
And then with the magnesium brain food and the new shaker we have on the website. For $142, that's a heck of a kit for those two products. So these are probably two of the best products we have as far as how they work, how you feel.
Brain and Body Restart Kit.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a name.
It's a good,
good name.
It's got the shaker for free, the GHI, and the magnesium brain food all on sale, free shipping. So a lot of people have been taking advantage of this kit. So I'm not going to have it along forever because I don't have a lot of shakers left. So I'll get more order, but they take a little bit of time to come in. But I threw this together because this is such a good stack for people to start on, stay on, or just continually use on and off as they need it, especially if you start running into issues where you get liver enzymes are elevated. When you get blood work done, which I recommend you do at least once a year, check your hormones, check your D3, check your ALTs, check your liver enzymes. If your liver enzymes are elevated for whatever reason, could be diet, could be prescription medication you're on, could be something you're taking, don't know, but whatever it may be, make sure you're monitoring those levels. And if you need to, the GHI Cleanse will knock those liver enzymes down. I'm not making any claims. I've personally used it to do that. I know multiple other people that have done it, and I've seen good results of that.
But if you are taking certain medications that have been given to you by a physician,
yeah.
I recommend that you go back to that physician. We're not recommending the discontinuation of any medicine whatsoever, nor are we trying to treat disease or trying to cure anything here. All we're trying to do is say there's healthier choices to maintain healthy liver enzymes.
And in my opinion, if you are on a medication that's causing massively elevated liver enzymes, it's your choice to talk to your doctor to see if they want to put you on something else. Up to you guys to that.
And also, if that doctor won't do it, go find yourself another doctor. Find yourself somebody who will talk to you about it.
There are some prescription medications that completely grenade your liver. One of those being Tylenol. Still don't even know how that's still on the market.
It's over the counter.
Yeah, Tylenol.
That product would never be approved now.
The number one drug for liver failure in the United States as far as over the counter.
Over the
number
counter.
One. Yeah, number one drug in the entire country for liver failure.
And I had a friend of mine
hospital.
Got drunk. It wasn't my friend. It was his friend. A friend of my friend's. Got drunk.
Took a handful
of Tylenol. 3 days later, and he's in the hospital with liver failure. He died.
Now, the good thing is the liver can regenerate if you keep the toxins out of it, clear your body out. You start running stuff like a GHI cleanse fast and the liver support. That's another one, too. It's really good.
We're not claiming that we're going to regenerate your liver.
No, but you got to make changes. So, again, my friends, appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the emails. I got some good emails this week. They're pretty funny. Thank you for those. You guys have a fantastic evening. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
And always remember, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, for He is the author and He is the finisher and He is the perfecter of our faith. He created the universe, for heaven's sakes. You got to have a relationship with Him. I love you guys. I appreciate you so very, very, very much. Thank you for your support. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.